Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip, and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'"
Amen. Thank you, Benedict. Well, I love Easter time. Maybe as girls, we love it because of chocolate, but and then we get into trouble. But I love this Easter message. And so I've got a PowerPoint. I'm going to talk about come and see. I don't know what your expectation was coming in. But you see, Mary and her friends, when they went to that grave, they had an expectation of what it should look like. And suddenly they got there and it didn't look right. Earthquakes, movements, guards that were terrified, a grave that was empty. Everything was wrong but right. Everything had moved. And Mary makes this statement in Matthew 28, verse 6. "He is not here. He has risen." And you can feel, I don't know if some of you are like this, you sort of come out of a fog and you think, oh, this is that. I'm now getting it. Context becoming relevant. Because you see, Jesus had been unusual, supernatural, extraordinary in the ordinary all their lives. And he'd been talking about that he would be raised on the third day, that there was this heavenly place. And he was on earth, but of another place. And they had no context for that. And suddenly, you can just feel this sort of time warp of, oh, he's not here. He's risen just as he said. And I bet in that moment, there's going through their mind 100 other phrases that Jesus has said, saying, oh, what does that now look like? What does this look like? And in the midst of all this thinking, confusion, surprise, expectation, comes a cry. Come and see where he lay. Come and see. He's not here, just as he said, but come and see. I believe this is the Easter cry. And as Jesus' people, we should be able to say, hey, come and see. And one of the most significant times is where we say to our family, dear Benedict ran us up and said, Auntie Rachel, can you come and see as I get baptized? Maybe some of you are in church because you've been told, asked, requested, commandeered. Come and see. Come and see what? Come and see Jesus. Come and see my story. Come and understand the journey where I got surprised, hijacked. Because often our journey with God doesn't start out of a meticulous, carefully planned campaign. We seem to get hijacked. It seems to be a surprise. It's that Easter cry of, oh wow, come and see. So many of us, just like Mary, don't actually recognize the God signature until a bit later. You sort of look back and look forward and you think, oh, that was God. How many of you have had that thought? You've maybe been sitting there and sort of thought, God, I could really do with a parking place right now. A Londoner's cry. And suddenly in front of you, the car comes out and you get it and you think, Oh, good coincidence. And then you start to pray. My kids got really good at praying for parking spaces, and the coincidence was phenomenal, because if they prayed, we got it. If they didn't, we didn't. So I think that's more than coincidence. And suddenly you think, oh, come and see. There's a God involved in something very practical. I had a friend who lives in the U.S., and she said to me, Rachel, could you just pray something for me? And I was just with her recently, and she said, Rachel, I've got to tell you this story. She lives in Seattle, Washington State, west coast of America. Her mom lived in Connecticut, east coast. And she had already taken a lot of leave, which is not freely given in the U.S. workplace. And she was really cutting it fine. And she'd gone 3 times because she'd been told, your mum is dying. And she'd stayed the apportioned time. Her mum hadn't died and rallied. And she said, Mom, she said, Rachel, there's something in me. I want you to pray that God would hear my cry to be with my mum when she dies. Do you think God can do that sort of thing? I said, I don't know. Let's come and see. Why don't we sit down together and ask this amazing Jesus, who is extraordinary, who has life beyond our life, and who loves us. And little things matter to him. I said, why don't we sit down and ask God to help you? Well, I saw her just recently when I was there. And she said, you'll never guess what, Rachel. It was a come and see story. She said, I suddenly got some leave given to me. And I got a bonus from Delta, well, of an airline. And I just thought, I'll use my mileage and I'll book the flight and just go and see. She got there. And the home, residential care home, were a bit surprised. Why have you come? She said, well, I just had an opportunity. I felt to come. She came that night. Her mum passed away. She was there with her mum. And she breathed out. And she said, I did what you said, Rachel. I prayed. And now I've got my own come and see story. Jesus is real. He does care. He heard my cry. I don't know what your story is, but here was Mary standing there. We read this in Psalm 65, verse 5. Let's look at this scripture. Psalm 65, verse 5, the next slide. And it says this. Can you read it with me? 1, 2, 3. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. I've discovered in our culture today, there's a lot of intimidation, and often you're made to feel a little bit stupid when you say, can I tell you a Jesus story? They sort of go, what? Whatever? What do you want that for? You know, there's a lot to silence us. There's a lot to intimidate us. And so we get a bit insecure about our Jesus stories. But I'm one of these crazy people. My friend gave me a card just recently. It said, Rachel, you're wonderful but crazy. I think that's what Jesus people should be. Wonderful but crazy. Why crazy? Because we don't make sense. But our story is not nonsense. Don't be intimidated. Don't let people make you insecure. Often, our story is forged in times of difficulties. It's in those tough seasons when we have to live through difficult life. It's in those times which don't make sense, but are not nonsense. Something gets forged in us in the fire. And just like these precious women, they've watched Jesus, someone they love passionately, die extraordinarily brutally. Their heart is broken. This is not a happy day for them. It's a happy day for us because we know the end of the story. But Easter morning was not a happy day when Mary woke up. When she woke up with her friends and they went to that tomb, they're feeling anything but happy. Then they're curious, and then their weeping is turned into joy. He's not dead. He is alive. Come and see. All of us have moments in our life when we think, where was God? Why did the lights go out? What happened there? It doesn't necessarily make sense, but I believe even in those tough times, just as Jesus was in that tomb and out of that grave place, was forged a life that broke out and declared freedom. So God often takes us on a journey and we discover we're made to do the supernatural and the natural. I want to show you a few pictures. In 1984, October the 27th in Zimbabwe, I was run over by a 7-ton army truck. I should have died. And there's another slide there too. That's my little girl, Nicola, who's now grown up, 34 years old. I should have lost my life. I had multi-fat embolisms in my brainstem, which meant I should have died. After amazing prayer of people praying for my life to be restored, 5 days later, I woke up. And believe it or not, I'm brain normal. It's verified, certified, and I have a document to prove it. Please don't ask the children. But they haven't got a certificate. But 4 years later, I was still on a journey. Although God had healed my brain, he hadn't healed my legs. Today he has. I can jump. I can move. But it was a four-year journey of medicine and miracles. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for God. And I've got a come and see story. Look at this crazy lady who should have been dead October the 27th, 1984 in Zimbabwe. Should have had her grave. But because our outrageous, believing, wonderful Christians that would not let go and were knocking on the door of heaven and saying, come on, God, do it again. Do it again. Touch, save, heal, restore, help, redeem. I don't know where you are in your world, but maybe there's something that you thought, that's finished now. That's so broken, it's done. God can't do anything. Well, I want you to hear my come and see story. When I thought it was all done, I found a Jesus who's bigger than I am. I found a household of believers who are greater and more loving than I had been. They loved me in that wheelchair, and the place that I thought would be my prison became a redemption place where I learned people can be amazing. And they helped me. And so during that little journey, I found that God healed the cripple on the inside. The girl who'd got a bit messed up at school when she was bullied and got hyper-defensive and protective. God healed the cripple on the inside. That girl who got angry and reactionary. Healed the cripple on the inside who got a bit defensive. And Jesus and all his love poured into that little girl of 24 years old and said, Rachel, look at me. Love you. And that wheelchair became my place of formation. And then he touched me on the outside. And I remember as people prayed for me, and there was a day in the Philippines when a quite strong man, at least I thought he was quite strong, came to me and he just walked straight down. He said, excuse me, is there something wrong with you that happened in a road accident? And I'm like, yeah, but why should I tell you? And he said, I'd like to pray for you. Now, my legs are firmly tucked under a beautiful white tablecloth table. No one could see. He said, can I pray for you? And I didn't really say yes or no, but he was quite bold. And he just put his hands gently on my knees. And he said, Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you will just make right what's wrong and help this girl walk. I didn't feel anything, and I thought, oh, well, I just better be polite. I'm British. And then he said, now I want you to do something you couldn't do before I prayed. And I'm thinking, oh, no, that means I have to try and walk without my shoes. And you see, my shoes had a special mold inside because my leg was a bit twisted and shorter. And I don't know why, but suddenly something in me said, well, you never know unless you have a go. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never really been in church, you don't know. But as you hear these come and see stories, I want that curiosity. I've come here deliberately from Oxford to irritate you tonight, to wake up your curiosity. And I want you to sort of think, you know what? You never know unless you have a go. And so I took my shoes off. It was a bit dangerous. And then suddenly I felt real vulnerable. Because it was my right leg that was really bad. So I took my left shoe off first. cord. Let's keep this right shoe well out of the way. And as I did it, instantly, I could put both my heels down. I don't know where it's best for the cameras. Both my heels touched the ground. I hadn't been able to do that since the road accident because my legs were such different lengths and twisted. And I thought, I can walk. My legs are straight. Jesus has done a miracle. So I want you to come and see. This is what an amazing Jesus did over 30 years ago. And I am so glad that Jesus is alive. But sometimes we think, well, Jesus would never notice me. I'm nothing. Well, that sounds a little bit like this man called Nathanael. We read in John chapter 1, verse 46. Nathanael was sitting under a tree. He was reflecting. He was thinking about life. He was quite, most probably an Oxford undergrad. He was sitting, processing, wondering. But he was thinking about where he came from. He sort of thought, I'm a bit of a nothing. You know, he's a bit like, I've come from a very broken family. No one from my family really does very much. We're the back end of beyond. We're Nazareth. Nothing comes from Nazareth. There was no expectation. If you said to people, oh, I come from Oxford, it's like, hmm. If you say, well, I come from Nazareth, oh, sorry. No expectation. Nothing good came out. And so here is Nathanael, and he says, Nazareth, can anything good come from here? Can anything good come from me? I felt like that in the wheelchair. What could come from me? Or your family, can anything good come from here? And then there's a man called Philip. He's an evangelist. He's someone who'd encountered Jesus, and now he's been so infected that he just goes around saying, telling people Jesus' stories. He said, no. So what does Philip say? Nathanael, you've got it wrong. Come and see a man called Jesus. I don't know what your mindsets are. I don't know what you feel. Maybe you've even been journeying with Jesus a long time, but actually Jesus has got downsized. But I want you, this Easter day, April the 1st, it's no fool's day. This year, this is not a fool's day. This is a wise day. This is a Jesus day. This is a come and see day. I had the privilege of going into a little nation. I want to show you some pictures called Moldova. Some people know where it is. I have to confess, I didn't when I first went. It's a tiny little nation stuck between Romania and Ukraine. We walked in there. And I met incredible people who thought they came from worse than Nazareth. They had nothing. And just click through the slides for me, precious Amelia. So we went in and bought some land. And we began to build some houses. We called them princesses' academies. These were all girls that had lost parents, lost family. Just click through them quickly. We began to build these homes for them. And we thought, we were giving these precious princesses from age 13 to 23 just a wonderful home. And then we needed to buy them a van to get them to school because they were, if you just pause it there, they were being hijacked or kidnapped by some unfortunate drug trafficking and other stuff going on. And it was just unsafe for them to travel to school without buses. So we thought, well, we'll buy buses and take them to school carefully. And then these girls began talking to us. And here they are getting in the van. They said, look, we need to go into all the villages in Moldova because we are so grateful you've made these princess academies. And we know that Jesus has been doing amazing things in us. And we thought nothing could come from Kanesht, this tiny little village in the middle of Moldova. What comes out of Kanesht? But Jesus has found us and saved us and helped us, and we've got a story. So can we use the van and go and tell people? So here they are. Last summer they went out. They're 13 years old to 23, and they were pressing our button. Please, let us go. Tell our story. This is them sitting in Venice. doing all sorts of projects, artwork, doing some of the stuff with people that they had done it with, of helping deal with trauma. We want to tell them to come and see stories. Just click through. And then in the evening, they began to tell. Like Philip. No, Nathaniel, you haven't come from a nothing place. There is a Jesus here, and he wants to give you life. And suddenly, all these kids came out of the villages as they heard the come and see stories. And now, they're just on their next project. They came and they said, can you get some money for us? We want to buy another place. We want to put 47 girls, princesses, in this place. And we want to keep telling our story because we know the only hope for Moldova is Jesus. And we need to tell a story. You know what so convicted me about that? I'm the big missionary, etc. Is that I hadn't seen the vision of going and taking the minibus and school holidays. They saw it. You see, like Mary Magdalene, they'd come to that grave. It was now empty. Their lives had been changed. And they're like, please, let us go tell the story. And I've been playing catch-up ever since. Everyone thinks, oh, Rachel, aren't you doing an amazing job? No, I'm just chasing down some incredible girls that are so full of life, who want to tell their stories, who've got more ideas and more heart than I had. They've challenged me. I love those precious girls. You see, God wants to take your mess and make it your message. And that's what we're going to hear in the baptism. God is brilliant at taking the things that we didn't do so well and make it our message. I'm on the next slide. Thank you. He often takes us through tests, and then they become our testimony. And we can moan a lot about the test, or we can make it our come and see story. So I want to leave you with this thought. Are you ready to tell your powerful story? We're going to hear it as all the people being baptized, they're going to tell their story. But in the Bible, in Revelation 12, God asks every one of us. You see, heaven got ready for Jesus. And we read in Revelation 12:10. Just read it with me from the screen. 1, 2, 3. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven. Can you read it with me? Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. He is? Hallelujah. I want you to add one more thing. So come and see. One more time. Why? Because he's given us three things. The blood of the Lamb, which cleanses us. Our testimony. Your story of come and see. And then your courage that doesn't step back, but steps forward and begins to live a life that makes Jesus look good. After the time of baptism, there's going to be an opportunity for us to respond and to let Jesus come into our life. And so I want you to reflect, think as you listen to all the different stories. And maybe God today is challenging you. Will you let go? Let God. So Father, we thank you for the incredible gift of Easter. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. And we ask you to help us see Jesus. And we ask you to expand that come and see story for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rachel.